9. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much in largeness of heart, even as the sand that's on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Verse 34. And there came of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. So are you getting a picture? This man was just amazing. You know, why did he leave God? Why did he turn his heart away from serving God? Something else we see that's quite remarkable, not only in chapter 4, when God came down to him and said, ask what you will, and he asked for wisdom, he gave him wisdom and riches. He experienced the presence of God there, but he experienced the personal presence of God later on. Let's look at it. Pop the scripture up. In chapter 7, verse 51, Solomon is the one who built the temple. You remember that? Yes or no? Solomon, y'all helping me here. Come on now. I'm going to die. All right. He built the temple to God. I believe it took him 7 years to build the temple. And then he dedicated the temple. I just want you to see that he had a phenomenal personal experience with God in that situation as well. Look at it. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels, did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Verse 10. It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spoke Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. Verse 14. And the king turned his face about, and he blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. Sounds like a totally different person, doesn't it, than the one we're reading about in Ecclesiastes that doesn't know wheat from dust. He doesn't know good from evil. It's crazy. Everything is vanity in his life, where he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes late in his life. Verse 1, chapter 9, this presence of God in his life. Look at it. It came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he appeared unto him at Gibeon. Verse 3. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now listen, I know we threw that off in the beginning like that. I did it on purpose. I wanted you to see that this guy had a phenomenal relationship with God. Listen, just because you got a relationship with God doesn't mean you're not one day going to fall off the wagon. Okay? And you need to work at it. And you need to keep your heart right with the Lord and keep a short account with God and humble yourself on a daily basis. This man was so far ahead of us in his relationship with God, it wasn't even funny. But something happened. Look at it. But. Can you say that with me? But happens. Okay? All right? And I could say more, but we won't. 1 Kings 11:4. Let's look at it. What happened to the man? Well, I have my own theory, which doesn't mean a whole lot. But I do believe the Song of Solomon was written by Solomon. I believe he had a loving wife. We've talked about that. We just finished that Song of Solomon series. And I think that she died. I think something happened to her. And I think Solomon went off the deep end. That is my view. Okay? And he tried to find somebody like her, and he never could find anybody like her. He started going after women like it was nobody's business. Look at it. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. His heart was not perfect. It was not complete. It was something missing in his heart with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon had something missing. Something happened in his life. And the Bible specifically says in more than one place that his wives turned his heart away. You know, I'm not making excuses for Solomon, and I'm certainly not blaming it on all the women, all right? But that would be an unbelievable pressure when a king from another country came to see you, and you know, instead of giving you a box of chocolates, he said, and by the way, here are 40 virgins. Guys, I mean, before we smack Solomon in the mouth, let's realize some of the pressures he faced. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Oh, here's your 40 virgins. Oh, no, thank you. You know? You know what I'm saying? So trouble happened. I mean, he just had this stuff before him. I think an event or two had happened in his life, like I said, and this just became overwhelming in his life. He went down the wrong trail, and he certainly bit off more than he can chew, and it caused him a world of hurt. So let's keep moving. We're getting somewhere, so hang in here with me. We're getting somewhere. The book of Ecclesiastes, this is the last message today for me, is the personal journal of Solomon's journey to find fulfillment apart from the presence of God. He looked after everything. He couldn't find it. And he tells us, if you go there, you're not going to find it either. And that's the beauty of this book. It can save us all kinds of problems. That's what this book is about. In everything he tried. He tried everything. He was just chasing the wind. That's what it was. He never could catch it. Did any of you go out and try to chase the wind this week? You can't catch it, can you? I have trouble just catching something blowing in the wind, much less the wind. You know what I'm saying? So he tried everything, but he never could find it. And so many people spend their life living like that. Let's keep moving. But in today's message, he's a rebel with a cause. Okay? You with me so far? Come on. Some of you look like you. All right? Help me here. Now he's old, and life is almost over. We're at the end of the book. We're going to be in chapter 11, towards the end of chapter 11. In chapter 12, if you have your Bible and want to turn there, we're going to be at the end of Ecclesiastes. He's old and life is almost over. Keep moving, Raj. Now, the hardest thing to face about old age is not the physical pain. I want you to say that with me. The hardest thing to face about old age is not the physical pain. Here's what it is right here. It's the guilt. Say guilt with me. Guilt. One more time. Guilt. It's the guilt. When you get old, connected with feelings of wasted days, wasted years spent in rebellion and chasing the wind. Oh, I'm going to get sick when I get old. Yeah, you're right. You are. But you know what? You don't have to be full of guilt. You don't have to be full of that as well. You're definitely going to get old and things are going to hurt. I read an article in the paper this week. There's some kind of hormone that you got, and I got it too. And when you get 70, about 70, that sucker ain't putting out but about 5%. And especially men, they're trying everything to keep that hormone thing going. Guess what? I'm telling you, it ain't pretty. All right? It ain't pretty. You're going to get old, and you're going to hurt, and things are going to quit working. But guess what? It's the guilt that'll damn your soul and just ruin you. Reminds me of, and I'm not going to sing it. How many remember the song? Wasted days and wasted nights. Bop, 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 bop. Freddie Fender. Remember him? Anyway. Wasted days, wasted nights. That's how Solomon was feeling. Let's keep moving. Solomon's autumn days were anything but golden. Final years of his life. I mean, they started out so grand. And look at it. What a failure he is. No relationship with God. Owns everything. He's had a kingdom, 40 years at peace. Not a problem, but he's miserable. His closing years were full of memories of rebellion, of immorality. That's what he's thinking. And by the way, if you're thinking you're here today, I'll sow my wild oats, I'll do what I want to, I'll get right with God one day. You know what? You can do what you want to, but I'll guarantee it on authority of the Word of God, you're going to be a miserable older person. You're going to be miserable as the day is long. And you're going to have zero relationship with God. And you can fool everybody in the world, but you can't pray at night, you can't sleep at night, you have no peace in your heart. And God doesn't want you like that. And Solomon wrote this book. And even though he was old, he said, I'm a rebel, all right, but I've got a reason to live. And the reason I have to live, Solomon says, is I'm going to tell those folks the right answer. And we're going to see it this morning. 1 Kings 11:6. Before Solomon got right with the Lord, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He went not fully after the Lord as David his father. Verse 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Verse 11, Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from you, and I will give it to thy servant. I'm going to take away your kingdom. He built that temple, an amazing kingdom, and God said, I'm going to take it from you because of your rebellion. And God positioned three men and their armies as long shadows across the soon-to-be deathbed of Solomon. There were three men. Look at them real fast, real fast. Hadad. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. So here's Solomon late in his life, a peaceful kingdom. What's going to be his legacy? His legacy is, I was a real loser and I lost the kingdom. Oh, not in my lifetime, but as soon as I died. And God positioned these men around him. Take it over. Razan was the second one. God stirred him up another adversary, Razan, the son of Elida, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And so Razan was another man that was surrounding this kingdom, ready to take it over. Jeroboam. 1 Kings 11:31, he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and I'll give 10 tribes to you. Okay? So this is the picture of Solomon's life at the end. This is the old man, full of guilt. Done it all, had it all. But he has something to say. And this is how we close the book of Ecclesiastes. And got 4 things I want to say to you. However, Solomon's journal of his journey ends on a high note. As depressing as this book was to me, as the different struggles, the different things I saw, things in there that he said that were just off the wall. Cuckoo, man, where are you coming from, dude? It ends on a high note. It ends with us not having to throw the wheat in the air and see so much of it as dust. It ends with everything you throw up in the air. It's all wheat, baby. It's good stuff. So let's see what he says. I believe Solomon came to his senses. I believe Solomon came back to the Lord. I believe that with all of my heart. This is the book that atheists love to quote because of its sometimes counter-Christian, get-all-you-can-get-out-of-life views. But this book ends with Solomon right on key, baby. Isn't that great? Isn't it? I mean, in sports, don't you love it when there's been a guy who's been a great athlete? You know, and then sort of he's, you know, sort of a has-been, but he comes back for that one glory moment. He's at the plate, pop it up, and he knocks the ball out of the park. Say, isn't that great? And he does knock the ball out of the park with his closing advice to rebels and anybody else who will listen today. Solomon has something to say. Throw the ball, Rod. Boom! He knocks the ball out of the park. Let's do it again. Come on. He knocks the ball out of the park. I love this stuff. One more time. Give me that. Knocks the ball out of the park. You know, here he is. The old guy with the bat. Amen? And he knocks the ball out of the park. Let's look at it. What do we see? Come on. What does the man who had it all and did it all say at the end of it all? Can you say that with me? Come on, it'll help me. What did the man who had it all and did it all say at the... Do you want to know? The wisest man who ever lived? Would you like to hear it this morning? Would you like to get some advice from somebody other than Clarkster today? Amen. Let's see what the Bible says. He had it all. He did it all. What does he have to say, Solomon? He's a rebel with a cause now. Let's put it up. 4 things. Number one, 4 things. 4 things. Not very long. We're well over halfway done. Here we go. He said, I will give an account to God for my actions. Can you say that with me? I will give an account to God for my actions. Boy, he didn't live like it there for a long time, did he? He said, I'm going to have to give an answer to God. Let's look at some scripture on that. Ecclesiastes 11:9. Here's what Solomon says. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because... Uh-oh, is that right? No, we got the wrong verse there. Ecclesiastes, we're still on another one. You see what I'm saying? Well, that's the verse we just read. Ecclesiastes 11:9-10. Let me read it. Here we go. Okay? We'll catch it. That's no problem. Like I said, it's a good thing we ain't on TV. Amen? Here we go. If I can read it. Rejoice, O young man, in the day of your youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Let's look at some other scriptures. He says, you're going to give an account. Look at what Hebrews says. It's appointed unto man once to what? Die. Read it with me. And after this, the what? You don't believe in that judgment stuff, do you, Pastor Clark? I thought you had one of them new churches don't believe in judgment, preach on hell and heaven. Listen, friend, we might have a new church, but we still got the same old Bible. Amen? We don't change the Bible to be creative to reach people. We're going to preach the Word of God. I'd be an idiot to stand up here and tell you today you can live life like the devil and at the end, it's just a big picnic. It ain't. And by the way, there aren't any giant scales in heaven, and your good works are going to be put on one, and one bad work's going to be put on the other side. And if you get enough, you get in. All your righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And one day, puny old you and puny old me is going to bow trembling before a holy God, and we're going to give an account for the way we've lived our life. And that's what Solomon says. I will, you will, give an account to God for your actions. And that's what the Bible says. Look at this. 1 Corinthians. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. If any man build upon this foundation, Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There's a judgment coming. We are going to be accountable to God, and we are accountable to God. Matthew 12, verse 35, Jesus speaking. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle what? Well, it didn't really matter what I said. You know, it does matter. That men shall speak, they shall give an a what? An account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. We're going to give an account one day. Let's look at this. Our passions need to be controlled by the reality that all of our actions will one day be placed on the anvil of God's judgment. Okay, there it is. Good. How many knew what an anvil was? Just be honest. How many didn't know what an anvil was? Can I see your hand? If you said anvil, what's an anvil? Anvils is used by metal workers and shopsmiths. And they pick up metal and they put it on here and they beat it. And they try it and they burn off the dross. They form it, they make it. And they hammer it on that thing right there, that anvil. And one day there's going to be a reality, friend. We're going to give an account to God. And we're going to stand before Him. Let's look. Revelation 20. This is sort of scary. Revelation. Look at it. And I saw the dead, small and great. They stood before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Read that with me. And whosoever was not found written in the book of, was cast into the lake of. You know why I believe in a place called hell and a place called the lake of fire? Somebody tell me. It's right there, friend. It's right there. You know, before I became a Christian, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I had these little fantasy things I thought in my head about this, that, or the other. But it doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what the Bible says. Solomon says, listen to me. I'm old now, but I've come back to my senses. I'm going to give an account to God for my actions, and I want to tell everybody that hears this book, I'm going to give an account, and you're going to give an account. So that's point number one. Let's look at the next one. What did man say? Second, I need to get my priorities straight. Can you say that with me? I need to get my priorities straight. I'll do it later. That's aggravating to us. People that say you're going to do it later. Why don't you do it today? For crying out loud, if you're living like the devil today, why don't you do this? Why don't you confess it to God and say, you know, I want to stop that by the grace of God, with His help, with His mercy. I repent before Him today and I stop running that race. Why don't you do that? Say, is it going to take a disease or what's going to have to get you and run you down before you get right with God? Get your priorities straight. Solomon said it this way. Verse 1, chapter 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Get right now. Why have you got to wait till you get old? Well, I want to live life now. I want to party. Why do you want to do that? I mean, hey, I'd love to have a good time. But listen, get right with God today. Solomon says, do it now. Get your priorities straight. The biggest priority is remember God. Look at Hebrews 3. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, like the children of Israel did. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and say my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, God talking, and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. Verse 11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. One reason you should get your priorities straight, and I should get my priorities straight, is because there's a God in heaven, and we ought to want to please Him. Amen? Don't you want God's blessing on your life? Say, you want His blessing on your family, on your children? Listen, that's a great thing. You want His blessing on your business? It's funny how we throw up these little prayers so quick. Oh, God bless me. Amen. Touch me. He wants you to be right with Him. He wants you to get your priorities straight. Solomon says, listen, friend, you need to do it this way. Do it by the book. Verse 19, we see that they could not enter the land because of unbelief. The nation of Israel that disbelieved God couldn't go in the land because of unbelief. They didn't have their priorities straight. So remember God. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he's done. And there's no respect of persons. Well, you don't know me. I'm a good guy. God really likes me. No, He doesn't. No, He loves you. Gave Jesus for you. But if you're going to live life your way, if He did it to Solomon, He'll do it to you. Amen? If He did it to His children of Israel for 40 years, that they wandered for 40 years, they didn't get to go in the land, He'll do it to you. Remember God. Get your priorities straight, Solomon says. James 4:13. Do it today. Watch this. Go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year. We'll buy, sell, get gain. Verse 14. Whereas you don't know what tomorrow is going to be. Maybe you're here today and you say, I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll put my faith and trust in Christ tomorrow. I'll get right with God tomorrow. Friend, I can't tell you the number of times that we've just had church here at Fellowship Church, and the last time I saw somebody was the Sunday I saw them in this building. And that week they went on, and they went to be with the Lord that week. And I'm sure some probably listening to my voice have been in this building and they went to hell that week. Don't put it off. Get your priorities straight. You don't know what's going to... Your life is a vapor that appears for a little time then vanishes away. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Let's take a poll right quick from our older guests today and our older folks here at Fellowship. How many, be honest, your life just has gone by so fast now and you just can't believe it. Can I see your hands? Look at that, kids. Young people, it just went, where'd it go? It's gone. Well, I'll do it later. Later just happens so quick, man. It's over. Get right with God today. That's what Solomon says. James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift from above, it comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, the shadow of turning. If you want good from God, get right with God today. He'll bless your life. Praise Him today. He's a great God. Priorities. Number three, let's see what Solomon said, the third thing. So what did he say so far? I'll give an account of my actions to God. Number two, what did he say? Help me, my mind's lost me. Get your priorities straight. Number three, sooner is better than later. Can you say that with me? Sooner is better than later. Look what he says. Because age works against you, not for you. As I get older, baby, I'll be more mature. I can make good decisions for Jesus. Listen, and that's just going to keep happening, and you're going to get older and older, and age doesn't work for you, does it, folks? Tell me. Oh, you pick up some wisdom along the way, but there's also some mess that quits working along the way. And you start hurting. I'm telling you. And you get the responsibility you think you're going to be free of, you still have, don't you? You still have children. And guess what? Them children went and had some more children. And I'm telling you, it just doesn't quit. Sooner is better than later. Do it today. Let's look. I want you to listen to the New Living Translation. I usually use the old King James because that's what I really prefer and I enjoy. But it just doesn't explain it like you need to hear it. Okay? Listen to what this translation says. Ecclesiastes 12. Sooner's better than later. Why? Because age ain't your friend. It's going to work against you. Look at this. Chapter 12, verse 2. It will be too late then to remember him. When the light of the sun and the moon and the stars is dim to your old eyes, and there is no silver lining left among the clouds. Verse 3. Your limbs will tremble with age. Your strong legs are going to grow weak. Your teeth are going to be too few to do their work. What's that mean? You ain't going to be able to eat good. You're going to be blind too. Trust me, that's already happening to me. And I lost one tooth right there. See that? Here we go. Come on. And I brush and everything. Here we go. Verse 4. And when your teeth are gone, keep your mouth shut when you eat. I know it's not very funny. It's real. Keep your mouth shut when you eat. I hate to say this, but it's a real quick story. My mother, we grew up in the country. My mother called me one day and she said, Gary, I went to Florence, South Carolina. I went, Mama, what'd you do in Florence? She had all my teeth pulled. I went, had all your teeth pulled, Mama. Because there were some bad ones in there and everything, that's for sure. But I said, you had all your teeth pulled? She said, yeah, I got me some false teeth. She was happy about it. It didn't sound like a good deal to me. Going somewhere, not one tooth, how many? All your teeth got pulled. All right, so anyway, she had false teeth. And I'm just talking about this, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. And if you got false teeth, it's good to keep your mouth shut. My mother went to the bathroom, excuse me. Little restroom there at my home. And, you know, in Carolina we grew up in. And I was down here in Florida preaching, serving the Lord, you know. I wasn't there. She told me. So she went to the bathroom. She flushed the potty. She turns around, maybe threw something else in the potty. She's facing that way, and she sneezed. Her teeth are gone. They're gone. She said, man, I flushed my teeth down the toilet. True story. It happens. I was wondering when I could use that story in life. It works. You know, listen, even the chirping of birds is going to wake you up. Chirp, chirp, chirp in the morning. Chirp, chirp. But, the rest of the day you're deaf and tuneless. This is what the Bible says. Hey, let's get an amen. Does it happen? Say. Sooner's better than later. Verse 5. You will be afraid of heights and of falling, white-haired and withered, dragging along without any sexual desire. Isn't that funny? I just read something in the paper this week about that. Solomon hit it head on way back when, didn't he? Things happen. Sooner is better than what? Later, friend. You will be standing at death's door, and as you near your everlasting home, the mourners are going to walk along in the street. The point is this. You and I, we're not going to live forever, are we? And Solomon said, look at me. Look at all my potential, everything I had. And look, there's Hadad, and there's Rezon, and there's Jeroboam. And the house of cards is coming down, man. But he hits a home run. He tells us how to live. Okay? Sooner's better than later. Let's look. Death is certain. Can you say that with me? Death is certain. It's going to happen. Ecclesiastes 12:6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, the golden bowl be broken, the pitcher be broken at the fountain, the wheel will be broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. You're going to stand before God one day. It's going to happen. I am too. Our life is like spilled water that evaporates. Look at it. See it? Make it disappear, Raj. Boom. That's how quick it is. Pour out a little water sometime. Pour it out here in the Florida sun. Just pour it there and watch it. And go, that's me. That's me. But I've got time. You don't have any time. You got about as much time as that water to just evaporate in the Florida sun. Today is the day to get right with God. It's a great time. Right now, our bodies are going to be broken and they're going to return to dust. Just like that. It's going to happen just like the Bible says. And finally, our spirit is going to return to heaven. And you're going to find out I wasn't in charge after all. I wasn't in charge after all. And you're going to stand before a holy God. And you're going to go, sooner would have been better than later. Finally, what does Solomon say? The last thing. And we're done this morning. The bottom line. I always like the bottom line, don't you? Give me the bottom line, baby. Here's the bottom line, right here. My duty is to fear God and to do what He says. Can you say that? My duty is to fear God and do what He says. Well, what will people think of me? Who gives a rip? Why? Because my duty is to fear God and to do what He says. Well, people will think ill of me or funny of me. Who are you going to serve? Serve the Lord. Solomon says, listen to me. Here it is in a nutshell, bottom line. Fear God. Don't be full of yourself. Fear God. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Read the book. Read the book. And what it says, do it. Isn't that great? Didn't the guy, he hit a homer, man. He was right back on the right page, baby. And you can do that today. You can get right. You can be on the right page today. That's it in a nutshell. Look at the Bible. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. This was the wisest man ever. He had written, he had wrote, he had read. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the what? Buddy, that just helped me right there. What am I supposed to be about, Pastor Clark? Right there. Fear God. Keep His commandments. What am I supposed to... Fear God. Keep His commandments. What am I supposed to do with my life? How am I supposed to run my business? Fear God. Keep His commandments. How am I supposed to love my wife? Fear God. Keep His commandments. How am I supposed to behave and treat other people? Fear God. Keep His commandments. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. That's the bottom line. Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. So this is the message. And then we close today with just Jesus Christ speaking to you through the Word. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Next. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Fear God, keep His commandments. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we'll make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. How can you tell if somebody loves God or doesn't? Do they keep commandments? I'm not saying we're perfect. But if somebody could give a rip and care less about God's word and what they do with their life, don't even pretend that you have a relationship with God. Jesus says you don't. Here's what John 15 says. Jesus speaking, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Say the last part with me. For without me, you can do nothing. We're done today. Chasing the wind. Now I'm going to try something real fast. I'm about wore out. Mm. all achievements, all possessions, all in time return to dust. Only God can be our reason for deep and quiet trust. He will guard us from the dangers that gladly make men fools. Apart from Him and all His meaning, all things fail as they begin, and hearts deceived can only know a chasing of the wind. And hearts deceived can only know a chasing of the wind. Let's stand together. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Even on a hard message like today, if you'll stay with us for just a couple more minutes, we'd appreciate it. Even on a hard message like today, you are the best people to preach to. I tell you what, you receive the Word. I had a guy, and I'm just going to say it because I've determined I'm going to be honest when we started this work and just say what I felt like the Lord was leading me to say. But I had a guy here last week, and I don't know if you're here or not, sir, but he said that when I preached, that a lot of people didn't say amen or praise the Lord. And so he said to me, the people didn't receive your message. I was kind to him. But it's funny, it was that very day that I preached, it's better to hear when you come into the house of God than to make the sacrifice of a fool. And friend, I'm telling you today, I feel like you've received the Word today. Amen? I feel that way. You know, praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I love amens. Amen. I love hallelujahs. I love praise the Lord. What I don't love is this. It's quite frankly somebody come in here saying you're not receiving the message. I didn't like that. That didn't go over too well with me. But it's a free country. Amen. And people feel things. And I've learned a lot from people who have said things to me. And sometimes I didn't quite get it. But the Lord's good. And He said so much good stuff too. But I do feel like today, just by preaching the Word, that you've received the message today. Solomon, those four things. I hope that you'll take it to heart today. And let's just ask the Lord to bless what we've heard today. Amen. Father, we thank You for the book of Ecclesiastes. And Lord, to be honest with You, I didn't know I'd be saying that. But You have taught me and grown me through this book. And Lord, thank You for it. And thank You for God, You being willing to put a book in the Bible that atheists love and they criticize it. But God, I'm so glad that You are so big and awesome that that doesn't threaten You whatsoever. Thank You for letting a man write his journal of his journey and of his wasted days and wasted nights and wasted years to conclude that the whole matter was to fear God and keep His commandments. Oh God, burn this message into our heart today. May it settle in good in our spirit. We want to serve You and love You, Lord. Bless it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.